Hello, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency, devoted to promoting musicians and authors worldwide. Call us today at 941-877-1552 to start your free publicity evaluation. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Please welcome the host of Interviewing the Legends, music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Welcome to the show, where we interview legendary and up-and-coming music artists and authors, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or email us at publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. After a newfound relationship with Jesus Christ in the summer of 1977, David and the Giants sought to change the very foundation of the group from the secular rock scene to a different style of Christian music. Through 1997, the original band and other musicians produced 17 inspiring contemporary Christian rock albums. David and the Giants were formed in 1964 when David Huff dropped out of Jones Junior College to follow his dream. Around 1965, David's brother Rayborn and Claiborne joined the group. Larry Papania and Bill Barnett were the first two drummers for D&G. Jerry Parker was the drummer from 66 until he was replaced by Keith Thibodeau in 1969. During the 1960s and early 1970s, David and the Giants, featuring Thibodeau and David's brother Claiborne and Rayborn, toured heavily as a secular rock and roll band, sharing the stage and in the studio with such formidable acts such as Styx, Chuck Berry, Cheech and Chong, Black Oak Arkansas, Rod Stewart, The Rolling Stones, and Stevie Wonder. Playing secular music at colleges, high schools, and clubs was the way of life for D&G. They were signed with Capitol Records, MGM Records, United Records, and CBS Records. The first three Christian albums had more ballads and a pop rock sound, and that included Glory Hallelujah and Roll On, later covered by Wayne Watson, the original version of Noah, now a classic song, and fan favorite recorded in 1978. Gerald Hagen played piano during these early years, leaving the band in 1980. Owen Hale played drums on the first three D&G recordings until Keith Thibodeau rejoined the group in 1979. Heaven or Hell in 1981 would continue their more rock roots sound, making David and the Giants truly pioneers in the early days of contemporary Christian music. In 1982, after signing with the Columbia Records Christian label, Priority Records, the first release entitled Simply David and the Giants was widely distributed. The next album, Riders in the Sky, in 1983, produced staples like Step by Step, King of the Jews, Look at the People. Then three more albums, Inhabitants of the Rock in 84, Under Control in 85, and Magnificat, released on the Mer label, produced several radio hits like I Am Persuaded, His Love Lifted Me Up, Why, I Can Depend on You. Giant Records, a self-label of David's, was created in 1988 with Strangers to the Night, the first release. The 1980s was finished out with Are You Gonna Stand Up, which produced the still popular radio hit Here's My Heart. Thanks to a mislabeled CD that was supposed to be From Soul to Soul, WNCI program director David Robbins from Columbus, Ohio, liked the song enough to put it on the air. WNCI received such positive responses that it was added into the regular rotation. Keith Thibodeau left the band after recordings of Are You Gonna Stand Up in the summer of 89. 1990 issued in a new decade along with Distant Journey with Lance Huff, David's son, on the drums to replace Keith. In 91, Distant Journey was nominated for a Dove Award for Rock Album of the Year. other releases, Long Time Coming, and Giant Hits in 93. In the early 90s, had three hits: Stumbling Block to a Stepping Stone, I'm Still Rocking, Always on My Mind. Since 2007, the David and the Giants original band members have been still getting back together frequently for reunion concerts and produced the live album Still Rocking in 2014. Please welcome to the Ray Sciascio Show singer, songwriter, guitarist from David and the Giants, David Huff. Hello, David.
Hello, how are you today?
We're doing fine, thank you.
Awesome.
You've got all kinds of stuff happening now. We are looking forward to your Victory Church appearance at Lakeland, Florida, not too far from here. David and the Giants will be playing with Classic Petra September 21st.
Yes, and we are really, really excited about coming back to Florida and, of course, being with Petra and some Danae Richardson is also going to be there. She's an incredible singer. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to be a great, great event, and we are pumped.
Have you guys ever played with Petra before?
Oh, yes. We've played several dates together, and we've been knowing the guys for only the Lord knows exactly how long, but it's been many years.
Yeah, Petra's a great band, really good band.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, awesome. And it's funny, a lot of their, some of their music sounds a little bit, I mean, you can find a lot of different legendary rock bands in their music as well. Like, I hear Kansas in a lot of their tunes. And you probably know Carrie Livgren as well, maybe. You know.
Yeah, in fact, Carrie Livgren gave me a guitar. And
really?
unfortunately, we were up in Michigan, and after you know, getting through playing, we were signing autographs, so it was a guitar player there that said, hey, I'll take your guitar and clean it up for you. You sign the autographs. He came back, and he was white as a ghost, and I said, what's wrong? He said, I just broke your guitar. So I thought he was kidding. And he said, man, I'm not kidding. So long story short, he broke the neck.
Oh, man.
The headstock on my guitar, and I am now getting it repaired after probably 25 years. And who knows? I might have it back in time to pull it out and play it down in Florida, you know, with the Petra event.
It's funny that I mentioned Carrie Livgren, and you have that story, isn't it?
Well, he's a great brother. Well, you know, I could tell you a few more stories, but you know, they recorded in Bogalusa, Louisiana, and one of our albums before, you know, I you know, put some more gear in my studio. I went to this other studio in Bogalusa, and that's where Kansas did some recording, and we heard so many stories about them. And then when we met Carrie Livgren, you know, the night that he gave me that guitar, he shared so many beautiful stories, you know, and what a great brother.
Oh, Kansas is such a good band. I mean, I've been a fan of Kansas for a long time. And their lyrics are so inspirational. You know, a lot of, you know, hopefully more people will connect that, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Great band. I want to talk about the, you've got a couple of great albums out there. What are your latest releases? Of course, is that Best Is Yet to Come, which is a live 40th anniversary video, right? And an audio disc as well.
Uh-huh.
And that's
exactly.
Got
we did.
That's got the original guys in the band, which is
yes.
Cool.
We did that actually almost a year ago now, and we did that in the St. Louis area.
Right.
And it was our 40th anniversary, and it was really, really special. Doing a DVD and going back in time and picking up some of the songs that we started out with. And you know, it took us back, you know, to only encourage us that, you know, God's not through with us. We have much left to do.
Sure.
And that's what we're going to be doing in Lakeland, Florida, September 21st.
Well, I'm glad you all are coming down here. It's been, I told Keith about it. I said, when are you guys coming to Florida? And then, you know, it was great to, that we could set this up. The other album you got, you have a, it's a Live in Pearl, David and the Giants Live in Pearl.
Yeah.
That also came out in about 2017. Talk about that one.
Well, you know, so many things are you know, like, they just happen.
Right.
And so that particular album came about when we were going to play in Pearl, Mississippi.
Okay.
And the guy that was going to be helping with the sound, he said, you know, I got some gear. He said, why don't I bring it and we'll just plug it in and ever what happens, happens. So that it just happened. And of course, I brought all the files back here to my studio and we did some overdubbing and did some fixes here and there. And that's what it turned out to be. I feel real good about it.
Yeah, and I love Still Rockin' Live. That's an incredible album. Love it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's a really cool album. All three of those, let's see, Still Rockin' is available on Amazon, and the other two, I think, are available on your website, right? www.davidhuff.com?
Yes, and also you can get it on iTunes.
On iTunes as well. Now, does monies also go to the ministry, or is that still happening? I know it did for a while.
Yes, the 40th, it goes toward our missionary fund.
Right,
in which we,
missionary. Right.
We went to the Philippines just recently.
Oh, really?
And yes, and it was just phenomenal. I could spend so much time telling you all the things that the Lord did there, but I would take up too much of your time, I'm sure. But it's an excitement that happens, you know, when you go into other areas that are not as privileged, you know, as some in America. And it really touched our hearts in such an incredible way, in so much that we want to go back soon. And not only there, but we already have an invitation to come to Ireland, France, and also England. And Lord willing, we're going to be trying to raise funds to send us there, because most of the places that we go, especially the Philippines, you know, the funds aren't there, so we have to help out, you know. And, of course, that's a part of who we are anyway.
Now you say we. Is the whole band? Did the whole band go to the Philippines? Or?
Yes, sir. The whole band.
Oh, wow. Huh. Did Keith go as well?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, on one of our dates, they had it at like a civic center.
Uh-huh.
And now David and John had never gone to the Philippines.
Right.
But before we got there, they did a lot of organizing, you know, different ones to come and different ones to get involved. Got the mayor of Ilu involved, and it was just tremendous. And it was around 6,000 people, and we don't know how many, you know, that made the trip as far as forward and gave their hearts to God, because it was so many that we didn't try counting. And the only important thing is that their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Wow, it's a great story. What other countries have you guys visited? I'm sure there's been a lot.
Oh, yeah, we went to England
right.
in 79, and we've been to Canada, Mexico, and, of course, I do a lot of solo dates.
Right.
And so, you know, I've been to, like, Greece, and I've been to Ireland, and but, you know, I prefer being with the band. It's something that's the way God made it.
You guys were pretty big in England, and you know, I just found a really cool compilation album that was imported called Northern Soul's Guilty Secrets, which is it's got a various bunch of artists, great selection of artists, and you guys are also on that album.
Which is album
cool.
is that? You're telling me something I really didn't know, but. What was the name of that album again?
Northern Souls, Guilty Secrets, and it's on Amazon. It's an import from, I think, from England.
Wow.
And you guys had 10 Miles Highs on that song, on that album.
Yeah.
You're part of that.
You know, back in the secular world, that was back then, you know, when we recorded that. It was recorded in Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
Right.
And that's where I was in the studio with, you know, the Rolling Stones and Rod Stewart and, you know, people like that. But anyway, we recorded there and did 10 Miles High and a song called Super Love.
Yep.
And it did, you know, they both did real well here in the States. It was with Capitol Records. Mm-hmm. And so we heard, you know, different ones would come up and say, man, y'all are making really, really big in England. Of course, you know, back then, people would just, you know, they call it blowing smoke. You know, it's when, you know, people just come around, you know, and just tell you something. They're so far from being the truth. So we just passed it off like, yeah, that's awesome, man. You know, yeah, that's great. We thought they were just saying that, you know, but time proved that they were actually telling the truth, that it was, you know, those two songs actually made it big in England. And so, and of course, we'd heard about Northern Soul, and I think it was them that also did a compilation with people from Muscle Shoals. And, and our sound was, I guess it was kind of soulful enough that it got on there with a lot of other soul singers.
Yeah, you guys been through a lot of transition periods, haven't you, music-wise?
Yeah. Yeah, the Bible says it's from faith to faith and from glory to glory, you know.
I look
back and I see me yesterday, but I see me today.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows about tomorrow.
And
I'm talking about, you know, songs.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to stay current, but you don't want to lose your identity.
Exactly.
So therefore you don't copy the rest of what's going on out there, and but you got to stay true to who you are in Christ Jesus. So it's an ever-changing event. I'm working on material right now, I feel really, really great about it.
Uh-huh.
But you know, I feel great about anything that I do because I always feel like God's in it and He's great.
Well, David, I got to tell you, man, you're an excellent, excellent singer. And, of course, guitar player as well. But I love your voice. Your voice hasn't changed throughout these years. And you got such an incredible voice.
Oh, to God be the glory.
Oh,
well, can I tell you a story?
Sure, of course.
That's
now, why we're here.
Most listeners, if this happens to get aired on the radio or ever what, I know a lot of people are going to be listening, going to be scratching their head like, man, that guy's some fanatic or something. But
no,
here's what happened.
So. Uh-huh.
Now, this is a true story. This wasn't dreamed up, even though some will say, hey, that was a dream or something. That can't be real. But in 1978, I was dating who I thought was going to be my wife because it just felt right. She loved God with all of her heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so I was praying about her, and I put a fleece before the Lord. I said, Lord, if you let two stars fall at one time, then I'll know that it's you and that your approval is upon it.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, I'd be driving at night or ever what, and I'd be looking up in the stars and the heavens and just waiting for two stars to fall, and nothing happened. But in 78, when all this was me praying this prayer and fleecing the Lord, we played in Chalmette, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got back to Mississippi, we were all really tired. My two brothers and I, we shared an apartment there at our recording studio. And we were asleep. And it was late in the night, probably around 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was first asleep. And I heard a voice saying, keep on singing my song, over and over. And the voice got so loud, it woke me up. And I sat up in the bed, and it kept getting louder and louder. And the voice kept saying, keep on singing my song. And when I said, yes, Lord, the voice stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was really, really quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, the Lord is here right now. Now I'll get my answer about Twyla. And I said, Lord, what about Twyla? The voice said, marry her. And then I waited for the Lord to say anything. I was waiting on him to say anything and everything, but nothing was spoken after that. And I don't know how long I sat there in the bed, but finally I cut on the light and I told my brother exactly what I just got through telling you. And the following night, I went to propose to my future wife. And when I was going to propose, I was reminded, the Lord said, marry her. So I just looked at her and I said, I'm going to marry you. And brother, I'm still singing his song, and I'm still married to that same wonderful lady. Hallelujah.
You're very blessed to have heard, you know, the Word of God, because, you know, a lot of people keep asking, and they never hear it. So you're very,
well, you know,
very
what?
Blessed to hear it.
When I said, and my wife asked me the question, she said, what did the voice of the Lord sound like? Because she'd been reading in the Word of God that the Lord spoke to the early apostles, and she was thinking, well, if he spoke yesterday, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why wouldn't he speak today? And if he spoke today, what would he sound like? So when I told her that the Lord had spoken, she asked me, she said, what did he sound like? And so I said, I can't exactly explain it, but he spoke with authority. When I said authority, that was the same thing when she was conjuring in her mind, if she heard the voice of the Lord, what would he sound like? And she felt like he would speak with authority. And when I said that word, authority, it clicked that she knew that, well, she knew me good enough that she knew I wasn't going to tell something and what wasn't exactly the truth. So anyway, but yeah, we are blessed. And God blessed me then. He's blessing me now. And he's going to bless me tomorrow.
Awesome. You know, I've interviewed a lot of guys, legendary rock stars that are now, you know, found Christ, and it's amazing how many of them, as they get older, are finding Christ. You know, and there's a lot of guys that never wanted to talk religion back in the day, but now they've kind of, you know, it changed their minds about a lot of things.
Amen.
Yeah,
it's the greatest conversation. You know, when we got saved. And it's truly a miracle. Think about this. Three brothers, real brothers, in this one rock and roll band. And we were so lost that I won't get into all that. To think that those three people would come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And to think that the guy that used to be Little Ricky on the I Love Lucy show,
isn't that something?
He received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In that around 74, and to think that he would tell us about it, and 3 years later, we would come to Jesus Christ. It was truly a miracle.
It's an amazing story. It really is. You should have read a book about it. I don't know if you have it.
You know, everybody's writing a book.
Yeah, I know.
And I've been writing on a book for all the years that I've lived.
Uh-huh.
And that book that's been written, I have started jotting down different things that happened, because it all started really when I was 3 years old. My daddy played country music. We didn't have electricity. We were in a three-room shack. Very poor people. And he had a guitar in the corner. And when I was 3 years old, I saw that guitar. And it was just like I'd seen it before, but for some reason it got my attention. And I thought, that's what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And, of course, I didn't know it was going to be for the Lord. And, of course, I didn't start out singing for the Lord. That was so far away from any of us. But it truly is still an amazing story. And with the help of the Lord, I'm going to put it down on paper.
Good. A lot of people would love to read it. Definitely.
Awesome.
I think one miracle is that you and your brothers got along so well in the band.
Hey, you know what? You know what, Shane? I told my wife the other day, I said, you know, my two brothers and I, we've had disagreements along the way. I said, but they're the greatest brothers anybody could have ever had. And I told my wife, I said, you know, there was never a time that we had a real, you know, like fist fights, or there's never a time when one of them hit me or I hit them. That was just, that was not in our book upstairs, you know, to, or in our hearts, you know, to ever do something like that, because they loved me then and I loved them then, and how much more do we love each other today?
That's an amazing story right there. I mean, there's so many stories about, you know, brothers and bands and not getting along, you know. I mean, Rick and Dave Davies of the Kinks. You know, I talked to Dave Davies of the Kinks about our older brothers. I have an older brother, and, you know, that didn't go so well for many years. So you are blessed.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know, Keith, he's not a real brother as far as my two brothers, Raven and Claiborne. But
right.
I got to tell you, he is as much of a brother as my two brothers, because we've all been together for so long. And,
that's right.
And he was like family from the very beginning.
Well, for our listening audience, Keith Thibodeau, we've had on the show. He's a wonderful guy, and he's also Little Ricky from I Love Lucy. And, you know, he's of course, he's got Ballet Magnificat, his ballet, which I love. I mean, he's gotten so popular with that program that he's got, or ballet school. And they travel all over the world. You know, I would.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully we get to meet up. I'd like to meet all you guys, actually. That'd be a lot of fun. Maybe I should come to Florida. I mean, come up and see your show for sure. You know.
Well, we're going to be looking for you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'll make it up there. It's only an hour and a half, I think, from here. So
wow,
I'll definitely be
awesome.
There. I'll definitely be there. Some of the guys I talk to that I've remained kind of friends with, too, is that are on the same path. Lou Graham from Foreigner. You know, he put out a Christian album that sounds like a Christian version of Foreigner, which was incredible. Barry Winslow is a good friend from the Royal Guardsmen, Snoopy versus the Red Baron. He's also another guy who found the Lord. Roger McGuinn from the Byrds. So the list goes on and on and on. It really does.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And you know what was really cool? I talked to Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull. And
really?
You know, everybody asks him about the same old questions in music and everything. You know what I asked him about? We talked religion. We talked religion and politics. And he's very, very much in touch with his Christian side. And a lot of people don't know that. And he's a big fan of visiting churches from all over the world.
Really?
He keeps a copy of his a Bible and the Quran in his phone. And
that's something.
Yeah, you know, you got to ask these questions. You know, find out what these people are really like.
That's
great. They wouldn't talk about them back in, you know, in the day when they were so, you know, so popular.
Yeah,
they wouldn't even mention it.
Well, before I met the Lord, I saw Jethro Tull in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you ever saw him, you never forgot him.
That's right.
But he was a wild guy, and he was one of the greatest flute players I'd ever heard in my life to this day. And but it would be so interesting, you know, when I was in the studio with Rod Stewart and the Rolling Stones, see, I didn't know the Lord. And Stevie Wonder I met in Bogalusa, Louisiana. He recorded there, and I was in the studio there then, and I think that was 76. And I was just starting my journey to come to Jesus Christ. It took me a year before making that final decision. I was with United Artists Records in Hollywood, and I had three car wrecks, and I finally got busted for drugs in Newton, Mississippi, and I gave my complete life. I gave that contract to the Lord. Everything. I wanted a brand new start. I wanted a brand new life. I threw it all down. I chase after Jesus Christ because I know there's only one way, and he's the only way to get to heaven.
I agree with you totally. I'm a Christian. I'm actually Catholic, you know.
Right.
Yeah, well,
That's how our drummer was brought up, so y'all had a lot of it in common.
Yeah, yeah. Keith was pretty persistent in the band about you guys converting way back then, right?
Yeah, and we didn't want to hear about it. I remember, you know, they were having people inside the Catholic Church started getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and his mother did too. And I don't know if Keith told you the whole story, but anyway, he got a phone call from his mother, and she told him about this beautiful experience that she and some of the folks in the Catholic Church were getting. And she told him, you know, about her receiving the Spirit. And so Keith came to the band and said, look, I think my mother's gone off the deep end, and so we're off this weekend. I'm going to go down to Louisiana and try to help her out.
Uh-huh.
So he went, and then he came back, and I remember it like it was yesterday. Now, Keith doesn't remember all of this, what I'm about to tell you, but I remember it because it's so vivid in my mind. The rest of the band was, for some reason, we were out in the yard, and we were just talking. I guess maybe I was getting ready to leave or something. And so Keith came driving up. He comes across the yard, and he says, hey, I want to talk to y'all about something. And so we all sat down, and I didn't know what was going to happen because he'd never driven up and said, hey, I want to talk to y'all. So I knew something was serious. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if his mother had really lost it. I didn't know what happened. So he started talking. He said, you know, I went to Lafayette to try to help my mother out. And I said, yeah. I said, what happened? He said, well, he said they had their meetings. Not in the Catholic Church, but it was just a house. It was somebody's house. And he said, we went, and he said it was like people's faces. They looked like angels. Well, you know, about when he said that, my mind was thinking, what's he been doing? I was thinking they did some drug or something for him to be talking like that. I said, well, what happened? He said they lifted their hands and started praising God. I said, you got to be kidding. He said, no. I said, what did you do? He said, well, I lifted my hands too. I said, what happened then? He said it was like I was in a bathtub, and it was like I was filled with God's love. And so I was thinking, he freaked out on something. And so anyway, he said, look, we got to change the words to our song. I said, to what? He said, Jesus. Well, we were opening for groups like Styx and Cheech and Chong.
Right.
And so I said, there's no way we can do that. So he quit the band. But, you know, when he drove away, I was thinking, you know, he'll be all right in a few days, and he'll come back, and he'll get back with the band.
Yeah.
But it was maybe a couple of years before he came back. When he came back, he was right on schedule, because when he came back, he told me one night when I was high on drugs, and I'd been smoking all day long, and we were riding along there, and he said, David, I want to talk to you about something. I said, what? He said, Jesus. That was the start of the turnaround in my life. And so, you know, I look back to that night so many times, because that night was really the start of the turnaround in my complete life. Mm-hmm. That was around 1976.
You know, I wish more people would get that awakening, you know?
Oh, wow.
I really do.
It's real.
Yeah, it is real. I agree.
I know you know that. I thank God for your program, by the way.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate it. Well, one thing that's going down in the history books is you being in the studio, right, when he recorded Brown Sugar, Rolling Stones recorded Brown Sugar.
I was right there.
Isn't that amazing? That is something else. Now, what were you doing? Were you recording at the same time, or how did that happen?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, here's what happened. You got a minute?
I got plenty of time.
Okay. All right. Here's what happened. There was two studios, really, that was in Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
There was a studio called Fame.
Right.
And it was owned by Rick Hall. And so the Muscle Shoals Sound band that was there with Rick Hall, mm-hmm. it was Barry Beckett, Jimmy Johnson, mm-hmm. David Hood, Roger Hawkins. They were the staff band at Fame. Well, they bought another studio called Muscle Shoals Sound. It was on Sheffield Highway.
Right.
And so there was a real feud between Rick Hall and Muscle Shoals Sound. I was signed with Rick Hall, and he was with Capitol Records, you know, and mm-hmm. that's where we did our recording. We were in the studio recording at Fame, and we kept hearing things that there was a band called the Rolling Stones that flew in, and they were recording at the other studio. And so everybody thought it was a joke and laughed about it. But as the day went along, more and more people were saying, the Rolling Stones are over at Muscle Shoals Sound. And so, you know, we still couldn't believe that was really going on. So when we finished recording that particular night, we went to, it was like a Waffle House, even though that's not the name of it. But anyway, that's where everybody went. It was like a Waffle House, mm-hmm. Toddle House, or something like that. And we were eating. One of the guys from Muscle Shoals Sound came in there to get something to eat. And so when I saw him, I got up from our table where the rest of the band was, and I went over there, and I said, look, I said, are the Rolling Stones at the studio? He said, oh, no, they're not there. And I said, well, we keep hearing about them being over there. And he said, no, man. And so I went back to eat, and it just hit me. I think he was just telling me that mm-hmm. to keep me from going over there.
Right.
And so I went back up there before he left. I said, look, I know that they're over there. I said, let's go call the studio right now, and I'm going to talk to Jimmy. Jimmy Johnson was a staff guitar player, and he was one of the owners. He was the engineer on the session. But anyway, so I said, let's call Jimmy. So we went back there, and the phone number was 205-381-2060. I still remember
that.
Like it was yesterday,
wow.
See?
Huh.
And so we called the number, and Jimmy answers. I said, Jimmy, I said, I know the Stones are there. I said, would you mind me coming? He said, we're going to be taking a break in about 15 minutes. He said, meet me outside. He said, and I'll introduce you to the band. And he said, don't even tell your brothers. He said, don't tell anybody. Mm-hmm. He said, there's nobody in the studio except Mick Jagger's girlfriend and the bodyguard, and who was a big, big black guy. But anyway, all that said, and so we go over there, and I didn't tell my brothers where I was going. And I got over there, and the moment that I came up to the front door, they were all coming out, the whole band. And there was Jimmy, and he introduced me to the band, and then he just gives a motion with his hand to come on back. And so I went in the studio, went to the control room, sat down. He said, you stay here with me. And so inside the studio, like I said, was just the band, Jimmy Johnson, Mick Jagger's girlfriend, and the black brother who was like their bodyguard, no pictures at all. You know, he made sure that no cameras or anything at that particular time. And so it was, I look back and I thank the Lord. I know a lot of maybe Christians would look and say, how can you thank the Lord about going and being in the studio with him? But I thank the Lord because I did learn a lot. Mm-hmm. I learned this, number one. I learned that Mick Jagger is definitely the producer. Mm-hmm. Their keyboard player who played piano was like a roadie. And he did that song, Brown Sugar, every time sounded like the time before. But I don't know how many takes that they took. And we stayed there probably about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Same song. But, and they had a lot of choices to choose from, but it was like a dream. And the group that I always wanted to be, kind of like, you know, was the Stones, the Beatles, mm-hmm. all those kind of people. But to meet these guys, they were nice people. But, you know, they did not do, you know, go outside and do their weed. And
right.
everybody always tried to make it like they were on drugs. But they could have been, but they sure didn't act like it.
Huh.
And Mick Jagger was in complete control of the recording. He knew exactly what he was looking for, and he didn't seem like a person that was really, really happy. And it made me think a lot. And and this is one of the most important things that I did learn. And even through Rod Stewart, he didn't seem like a happy person.
Really?
And I remember he got on the phone, and I wasn't trying to eavesdrop, but I overheard him talking to some lady he was dating at the time, and this was either 75, 76. Mm-hmm. He did the Atlantic Crossing album in Muscle Shoals.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that album was written right there in the studio. And I remember he was on the phone, and he was talking to this lady who was like an actress. And he said, I met this nicest guy from Mississippi. And when I heard him say that, I didn't want him to turn around there and me be there like I was eavesdropping. So I don't
right.
know exactly what else he said, but it kind of touched me that he looked at me as like mm-hmm. a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't know it, but at the time, I didn't know the Lord, but I was searching for the Lord. I wish I had that moment to go over, because I could surely point him the way that would lead him to true happiness,
mm-hmm.
peace, love, and joy that only comes from the knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You could probably help a lot of legendary rock stars. You know that? If you had a nice talk with
I would love that, because, man,
yeah.
I love people.
Mm-hmm.
I love people. I don't care who they are, what they are. From the uttermost to the guttermost, it doesn't
yeah.
matter. God loves everybody.
Well, they could sure use you, especially the 90s style of music stars who are all, you know, so depressed that they've committed suicide. You know, there's so many of them. You know, it's such a shame.
Yeah.
You know,
I got
my best friend committed suicide. And, you know, I just wish I could have said more to him, but. You know, it's just,
I know.
I don't know. I don't know what to say about that.
Unfortunately, I had a niece that she took her life.
Yeah.
And I had an uncle that
mm-hmm.
took his life.
Yeah.
And just before Keith witnessed to me that night,
mm-hmm.
I'd contemplated also, because I was so miserable. I was so depressed all the time. I was looking for this something that I thought was out there, and I tried to find it through drugs and rock and roll and the girls and all that, but
mm-hmm.
nothing was working. And it was like I was coming to an end. And
a lot of people on the outside, they probably don't understand that. They figure, you know, you all got it all, you know, you're in control. But it's really not like that, is it?
Not at all, man.
Yeah.
It's all a game. And,
yep.
and I tried to play it well, but it was like it ran out,
mm-hmm.
And it was just like, where else do I go? And that's when Keith, that night, I'll never forget, we played for Mississippi State University.
Mm-hmm.
They were these guys were, you know, I forget what fraternity, but they were having like a rush party in Jackson, Mississippi. And we were playing there, and it was like they could have cared less if we were there, because they only cared about getting drunk
right.
and being wild. And, you know, as I saw what I was seeing, it was like, you know, is this all there is to this life?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Keith, you know, rode home with me, because he saw that I was in a bad place in my life.
Well, you know, if you look at your YouTube videos, you're touching a lot of people. You've got some great comments there from people that are really appreciative of your music and your message, you know.
Praise God.
There's a
you
lot,
know what?
A lot of great comments.
I feel like that we're just beginning because it feels like there's so much to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to fulfill everything God's called me to do. And what he's called me to do is what I'm saying and doing right now. And that's to reach out to somebody that might even be listening right now.
That's right.
To let them know that, hey, there's still hope. And it doesn't matter what your past may be, because if you only knew my past, my goodness. But I don't look to my past. I look to my future, and it looks bright. Praise
yeah.
God. And
yeah.
those people that are listening, that your past looks ugly, just like mine did, well, you know, it can be forgiven. It doesn't matter.
Sure.
Praise God.
We all go through that. We all go through trials and tribulations in our lives.
Amen.
I mean, that's just normal. That's why God gave us free will. To figure it all out. Try to figure it all out.
Hey, I like that. But thank God, it wasn't too late. We got it figured out.
Sometimes I tell God, I said, why'd you give us free will? I want to listen to everything you told me and just steer me in the right direction. And
yeah.
I don't want free will.
Yeah, really, man.
You know?
Yes.
I got to tell you, some of the songs that I fell in love with from you guys, some of my favorite tracks, Long Time Coming is a great, great album. It's probably one of my favorite albums. It came out in 1992. And the song Love Won't Leave You Alone, another
yeah.
phenomenal track. Riders in the Sky, another
yep.
big favorite. I'm Still Rocking, that video. People need to go see that I'm Still Rocking video, the official video on YouTube, because it says exactly what it does. It rocks. It's a great
rocks,
video.
Yeah.
Yeah. Highway to Heaven, another fantastic song. And Here's My Heart demonstrates what a wonderful voice you have.
Praise
you know?
God. Thank you, man. I
yeah.
appreciate that.
You have a wonderful, wonderful voice. Yeah, I noticed Tommy Aldridge was in the band one time, right? Back in 72?
Yeah, how'd you know that?
Well,
you did
you
your
know,
research.
I did my research.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was our drummer. Yeah, it was around 72. Yeah.
He's a big name. I got to ask you, did you ever get to meet Elvis?
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
But his drummer, DJ Fontana,
right?
He played on the Louisiana Hayride, and my sister and I sang on the Louisiana Hayride in 1960,
mm-hmm.
and he was a drummer. And I was studying radio in Memphis. I was like between junior and senior year, and during the summertime I went to Memphis and stayed there and studied radio. And while I was there, we got an invitation to go, my sister and I, to the Louisiana Hayride. And that's when I met Elvis's drummer, DJ Fontana. And I told him about me going to school there. He said, oh, he said, I'm going to give you my number. He said, call me next week, he said,
mm-hmm.
and I'll take you over to meet Elvis. He said, we have parties all the time. He
right.
said, and I'll take you over there. And I lost his phone number.
Oh, man. Jeez.
It wasn't meant to be.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You and Elvis would have hit it off. I know that.
Yeah.
I had Ray Walker on the show from the Jordanaires. What a nice man he is.
Wow.
Yeah, very nice
That's
guy.
Great.
Yeah. Here's a question I ask everybody. This is your final question here
okay.
for the interview. If you had a Field of Dreams wish, like the movie, to perform or collaborate musically with anyone from the past or present, who would that be?
Brother, man, you just asked me a good one. I'm still thinking. Because I feel like
answers.
So many has impacted my life. It could be this. Back when I was probably 8 or 9 years old,
mm-hmm.
there was an elderly black brother
right.
that was playing on the streets in Forest, Mississippi.
Yep.
All the country people went to town on Saturday. and we lived about 17 miles from Florence. And so it was on the corner there in Florence, Mississippi, that I heard this man singing. And there was something so touching and moving about him. And he was blind.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a little cup on his guitar, you know, on the mm-hmm. keys up there.
Yep.
And it was an invitation, you know, to let him hear you put some change in his cup. So I feel that he impacted my life. And so I guess I would have to say I'll get to play with him not too far down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's walking on streets of gold.
Right.
He ain't got no guitar as far as cup on his keys. And he ain't blind no more, praise the Lord.
Really?
But anyway, yeah. I feel like he did more for my
mm-hmm.
my direction.
Well,
musically.
Did he pass away?
Yeah. I mean, he was an elderly gentleman when I was 8 years
old. That's why he's not blind anymore.
He got a brand new set of eyes, brother.
There you go. There you go. We don't need our eyes in heaven, right?
There you go. Amen.
But you grew up liking a lot of country music, though, right? You could have been one of the first Southern rock groups, really, because you started so early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's pretty wild, isn't it?
Yeah, it is wild. Yep. Yep.
Owen Hale, the drummer that played on our first three albums, he went on to be Lynyrd Skynyrd's drummer. And
which one?
About a year ago, Keith couldn't make it to one of our events,
right.
And my son couldn't make it either. And so Owen Hale came back out and played with us in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah, I see you guys. You played with Black Oak, Arkansas. I interviewed Jim Dandy, another great guy, Jim Dandy Mangrum.
Oh yeah.
Oh, he loves to talk, man. He's a great conversationalist. Got some great stories.
Great.
Another good guy. You know, my first radio job could have been in Meridian, Mississippi. I was offered that job. Turned it down and ended up starting my career in Sebring, Florida. Because I was already going to school in Florida, you know, so I figured I'd stay in the state. But I was offered Meridian, Mississippi at the time.
That's incredible.
Yep. So I could have been...
would it be WMOX?
Who knows? Whatever station was in Meridian at the time. This was back in the late 70s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. David, I wanna thank you so much, man, for being on the show today. It's been a real pleasure, and
it's an honor to be with you. Thank you.
Definitely see you guys. Classic Petra with David and the Giants Friday 7 p.m. Victory Church in Lakeland, Florida. How do I get tickets for that? I mean, are they sold out yet? And I know they've been selling a lot of tickets already.
I forget exactly the website to go to,
mm-hmm.
but they can look on our Facebook page, or they can go to, you know, the Classic Petra, David and the Giants Facebook page, and find it there.
Or I could ask Dan, you know, Dan, is it Stakel? Is that his last name? Stakel?
Good question, but I just call him Dan the Man.
Dan the Man. All right, Dan the Man. I'll ask Dan the Man.
You got it, brother.
Awesome. Thank you, David. I appreciate all your help, and we'll see you. Keep the good word going, because we all need it. The world
yes,
needs it.
Yes, we do. I need it, too. We need it.
You're doing wonderful work, and I appreciate all you do. We all do.
Thank you, sir. And I love you, man.
Love you, too, man. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye now. For more information about David Huff and David and the Giants, visit www.davidhuff.com and, of course, www.facebook.com/David and the Giants. Once again, David and the Giants will be playing with Classic Petra on at Victory Church, Lakeland, Florida, September the 21st at 7 o'clock. You can also purchase live 2017 Live in Pearl with David and the Giants. You can also purchase The Best is Yet to Come Live, 40th anniversary video and audio disc from David and the Giants. You can get both of those at www.davidhuff.com. Also, David and the Giants 40th anniversary live DVD CD with the original band. And that's also, you can get that at www.davidhuff.com. You can also get Still Rockin', which is available at amazon.com. Very special thanks to Dan the Man of White Thorn Events for arranging this interview with David Huff. And, of course, the dynamic duo of Doug and Don Newsome of VBS Radio for making the magic happen for each and every broadcast of the Ray Shasho Show. If you have comments or suggestions for the show, contact me at theRayShashoShow@gmail.com. And don't forget to purchase a copy of my book entitled Check the G's, The True Story of an Eclectic American Family and Their Wacky Family Business. Available now at Amazon.com. You'll live it. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to The Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com. Specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Join Ray Shasho every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern on BBS Radio Station 1.